Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Why I Hate This Movie. I'm your host, Derek Rios, and with always, my co-host and heterosexual life mate, Danny Newton. How you doing, Danny?
Pretty good, Derek.
That's good. Today, we got a little something special to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We, being a big hit podcast,
yeah,
went to a special sneak peek premiere of the new Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Honor Among Thieves.
Apparently, this is only available to a select few.
Very finite.
Yes. Very few people.
Got invited. Anyone with an Amazon Prime account. So those very few elite members of society.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You're just lucky enough you know one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't account share. But
I didn't say anything about that.
What? No, Amazon.
I got you a ticket because I have Amazon Prime. Anyways. Yeah, so we're going to try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible.
Yeah.
But, of course, I'm sure something will slip.
Yeah, maybe. Going into this movie, I had very low expectations.
There were a few red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Being Wizards of the Coast, or I'm sorry, Hasbro sold their movie studio before the movie actually released.
Yep.
To, I guess, Paramount Plus?
I'm not sure. I guess so.
I think because it was like brought to you by Paramount Plus, and I think it might be owned by Amazon Prime now.
I don't know.
Amazon. So there was a lot of names attached to this.
Yes.
And only one offended me. And that's when it said Hasbro's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
That was very offensive to me.
Oh my goodness. It hurts my soul.
I did not like that at all.
Like I told you, whatever you texted me, it was not lost on me that this was yet another Hasbro dump to Amazon to try to get rid of product.
You know, I truly thought it was, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, I don't think this was the dumpster fire that I thought it was going to be.
Fortunately, it wasn't, right?
No.
This, I'm not going to go as far to say as this movie was good.
No.
Because, honestly, this movie wasn't good. But if you were in the core demographic, this movie was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. If you're a nerd who enjoys Dungeons & Dragons or any tabletop RPG.
Yeah.
Or just in general fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You will enjoy this movie.
Yeah. If you're old enough to remember the first D&D movie, the hit theaters.
Yes.
And how it insulted you to be alive.
Oh, yeah.
This was not that.
No.
But this movie knew exactly what it was. It didn't try to sugarcoat anything. It didn't try to make you feel as though you're watching a mystical story. It made you feel like you were trying to watch any D&D podcast or Twitch stream or something like that.
It definitely played to its fans. And yes. It throughout the whole movie, there's a bunch of references here and there just about different parts of the D&D world.
Yeah.
Including the setting of it is... So this takes place in Neverwinter.
Yes.
But,
well, it takes place in more than just Neverwinter. It takes place just in Faerun in general.
It's all over, but yeah. They travel quite a bit.
Yeah, they name drop all kinds of places. They name drop Waterdeep. They name drop Baldur's Gate. Yeah. If you can think of it, they've name dropped it.
They actually go to the Underdark.
Yeah, they do.
Which didn't feel like the Underdark that I pictured.
Nope, not at all. That's not how I picture the Underdark.
Which they end up in a, it looks like an abandoned, it's an abandoned, like, it looked like a dwarven, it looked straight up out of, what's the mountain where the dwarves owned in the Hobbit.
Oh, yeah, it looked like Khazad Dûm.
Yeah, it looked like Khazad Dûm. They had just forges, but they're in a mountain and there's lava, but and it's like some abandoned city, but it's supposed to be gnomish. But I think, what's the Snurf Nevelum home? City.
Oh, gosh. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I don't think this is it.
No.
If it is, then something... Well, I guess something bad happened.
Yeah.
But...
Something bad always happens.
Well, oh, I guess, you know what? I'm sorry. You do kind of find out what bad happens.
Yeah. So, out of all the character classes we get, right? all of these character classes suck. They pick the suckiest character classes.
I beg to differ. I think they pick the strongest classes. All right.
So they pick Druid.
Druid is the most OP class in the game.
This Druid could not do this. Anyways.
No. No, this is how Druids work, okay?
Yeah, exactly like this.
She's a very high-level Druid.
Yes.
Because
I would say, getting towards epic level.
Because for a Druid to be able to shapeshift into something diminutive,
yes,
it's very high level.
They pick Sorcerer, mm-hmm. which is just bad mage.
But he uses wild magic.
Yeah. They pick Bard, which is just...
Bard's one of the best classes in the game.
Bard's just mediocre everything.
To be fair, So Chris Pine,
yes,
is supposed to be a bard. He has a lute. He doesn't actually ever cast any spells.
He's supposed to be part of like some kind of divine
elite assassin guild.
Is it an assassin guild?
They're called the Harpers.
Yeah, it seems like a police force.
Yeah, but he does under. It's not. I guess they're not assassins. They're good guys, right?
Yeah,
but they do like God's work behind the scenes, and or not whatever God they believe in. But the examples where he'll like trip up thieves.
In America, it's called the CIA.
Well,
yeah,
but if the CIA was in general doing good deeds
in Star Trek, it's called Section 31.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a clandestine organization.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to just in general. He in the movie,
mm-hmm.
he never really does anything.
No, not at all.
He hits some people with his loot, which a bard should never do.
No,
that's rule number one.
Expensive.
Yeah, that is very expensive. Because your instrument will just break.
Right.
And, they get expensive. But yeah, he just kind of runs, gives speeches. He's just there for the speeches.
Right.
He's not there for combat at all.
He's very inspirational, you would say.
Yeah.
But
he's not. It's not like a traditional bard where he's like a spellcaster.
Right.
And he's not like a thief or assassin or anything. He's just kind of there as a party leader. It doesn't really bring anything.
Right. And to round it out, we got Barbarian, which is just fighter without as many feats.
But I think the Barbarian is a better version of a fighter.
I think this early is on. Probably one of the few times I've seen Maria Rodriguez in a film and she didn't suck.
What?
Like,
no, Maria Rodriguez is great.
Her lines?
Lots of times.
I'm sorry. So
she plays Barbarian well.
Her lines kind of made me chuckle. Mm-hmm. Every time she stated obvious things, like, duh. Yeah. It's to see her in this, I liked it more than any Fast and Furious movie I've ever seen.
She played Barbarian well.
Yes.
I enjoyed her character. And on top of that, I thought she actually looked pretty attractive.
Yeah.
She's looking good.
Not bad.
Because she has to be like almost pushing 50.
God, yeah, she's got to be up there now. Which there is also another class that I would argue is probably the best class.
Don't say it.
Don't say it.
This person is not really in their party.
This person isn't in their party.
No.
But he is the best class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Paladin. With his little baby class.
Mm-mm.
All right, I'll give you this. Paladin is the most overpowered class.
Yes.
But they are the most restricted class because everyone that plays a paladin has to be a D-bag.
Yeah.
And it comes off. They do this paladin justice. That I hated this paladin the entire time he was on screen.
I loved this paladin.
No, I hate him.
Because you know what this paladin did? This paladin did everything that your group actually has to do in order to con your paladin into doing something wrong.
That's fair.
This is exactly how you have to handle it.
Yeah. But
so spot on. Perfect.
He did it knowingly. He wasn't like a traditional paladin. They're kind of at war with this race called the Thanes.
Yes.
Your Miss movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't exactly know the Thanes, who the Thanes are.
I don't know. Back whenever we actually played regular D&D,
mm-hmm.
like branded D&D, I mean, we never really did much Faerun stuff. Like, I don't really know much about, like, the Red Wizards and stuff like that, honestly.
No. But so, the red, I know that in Dragonlance had Red Wizards, right?
Yeah. This is different, though.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. But it seemed to be the same organization, effectively. The Red Wizards are evil wizards, and they hunger power and do bad things. That's generally...
Then, yeah, I guess it's largely the same. All Red Wizards are largely cookie-cutter bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cookie-cutter. Jesus, I want... I'm evil. I murder people. I'm evil. Power. Yeah.
Evil.
I thought she did well.
Yes.
The Red Wizard. And I enjoyed her powers. She was really overpowered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rightfully so. I mean, she, according to this, she should have been coming up against a party of almost epic level characters. Well, so.
At least like one epic level character.
But yeah.
She would have just lost to the Paladin. I don't know why he never just showed up and finished it, but.
But I got to be honest, man. Overall, this movie, it just, I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I was so afraid going into this because in my heart, I was just like, this is D&D's last shot, right? This is it.
Wow.
And it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been.
I don't know.
It still had its flaws. It still has the storytelling flaws, and you can tell where scenes in the movie, it didn't flow generically. Right. And it was like, it was obviously this scene was just pushed, like it just punched into there.
Yeah.
In the middle of this film where like, okay, we're going to go do this. And okay, now this is here.
Yeah. There's a lot of MacGuffin chasing.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of bouncing around.
Right. It's a lot of MacGuffin chasing, but that's what D&D is. D&D is a lot of MacGuffin
chasing. It really is. It really is.
So in that respect, like I said, it did the thing. If you want to know what your D&D characters look like coming up with dumbass ideas, then this is the movie.
Yeah, there were some parts I really enjoyed. And the crowd, you know, the other people, there's probably about 30 people there.
Yeah.
They seemed to react for the most part pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there's some pretty entertaining scenes. There's a big arena scene that's pretty good. And there's a graveyard scene that's pretty hilarious.
Which... Honestly, if you're hard up into 5e, apparently there's jokes in this that you will get that I did not. Because I heard people laughing at stuff that I was just like, what the fuck was that? Why is that funny?
There was one thing I didn't catch mm-hmm. when they're in this final battle scene.
Yeah.
They have this thing roll through the scene, and I didn't catch what it was.
Are you talking about the ball?
Yeah, it was a little ball. It was supposed to be like, you know, a tumbleweed going through the scene when you have like a Western fight, right? Right before.
Oh, no. I understood that.
I didn't see what
that ball was. That was the joke.
I didn't see what the ball was.
It was just a basket blowing by like a tumbleweed.
Oh.
It was like a Wild West shootout. That was the joke.
Oh. I thought it was something.
That was an easy joke.
Okay. No, I actually thought it was something that was a part of it.
No. That was the joke. It was a Wild West shootout. But there was, like earlier on in the film, there was a few things that people chuckled at
mm-hmm.
that I didn't get. And I was in my mind, I was just like, well, this must be a fifth ed thing that I don't understand.
I don't think so. I never felt like that. I think they were just laughing at something that I just didn't find as funny.
It could be that too.
Just didn't find as funny.
It could be that all these nerds were just lamer than us.
Yeah. Somehow.
Fucking nerds.
There was one of the things that laughed at, I don't know if you, I'm sure you noticed it, but Holga's lover.
Yes.
Ends up being an actual like famous actor and mm-hmm. he's a halfling, right? So that was pretty funny. It was actually, that scene was actually pretty, it was good because it was actually an emotional scene. And it was like
emotional. It was emotional. It was good. It was honest.
Yeah.
It was straight up two people talking to each other. And it was also absurd.
Yeah. It worked.
Yeah.
Because they didn't throw some like random BS joke in there. And they just, right. It was like a heartfelt moment.
They let the situation be the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
I was like, wow. Like I was really expected something to come in and them to do something stupid like,
oh,
like a screaming goat or something. That's where Ragnarok. Something
Jesus.
Stupid like that.
Jesus. Yes, we are very lucky that this was not directed by Taika Waititi.
Well, yes.
It's there's so much in this that could have easily been hammed and trashed into oblivion.
Yeah.
And just would have ruined it. Right. I think that they went right up to that line. I don't think they ever stepped over it. They never, for at least for me, they never stepped over that line to make me hate this. It was teetering. It could always go either way. It was riding that line, but it never crossed it. So I don't know. I expected to hate this, but I really liked it. I really liked it a lot.
I loved the fat dragon.
Yes.
I thoroughly loved obese, can't fly fat dragon.
I love that dragon for more than one reason. I love that that's the dragon fight we got.
Yeah. Because they couldn't handle a real dragon.
Right? That is not the dragon fight they sold us in the trailer.
Oh, it was definitely was not. It was not.
Definitely not.
No. But they did, some of the merch just come out.
And yeah.
They had one of the plushies at our local store was a big fat dragon.
Yeah.
So
I had no idea that that fat dragon was from this, though. Yeah,
all that stuff was advertisement. They had the fat dragon. They had the owlbear.
Yeah.
They had the little displacer kitten.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, and the mimic and the ooze.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was actually in the movie, and it felt like, okay, I'm in a D&D adventure.
Yes. Yeah, for real.
But it wasn't a typical D&D adventure, but it was more, you know, it felt a little more realistic to like an actual story where you can't beat everything that the DM throws at you.
Right.
And in general, most people, if you throw anything at them like that, they either die trying to fight it or just run.
Yeah, they have to run away.
You have to run away. But yeah. A lot of times they just like, oh, well, the DM wouldn't just throw something that we can't fight in there.
So I will say, before we watch this, I heard a lot of people trashing this online. Before this even come out, I heard so many people talking about how they only hired Chris Pine in this role because he was the only actor that said would say yes to being emasculated. And to that, I would say they don't understand what it is to play a bard.
No.
In D&D. Because either you're going to be horny bard.
Yep.
Or you're going to be goofy bard.
Mm-hmm.
That's really your options.
Yeah.
And he went with goofy bard.
Yeah. And I think he was fine. Yeah.
Yeah. He went with, like, you know, avoiding a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Goofy bard. And that was great.
My only real complaint was I think they could have had some like a little more sincerity about their loss in the movie.
Yeah.
But besides that, like, yeah, it was great. He did his job. He, you mm-hmm. know, he was there as a party leader. He was there as the face of the group. And that's what bards do.
Yeah.
And it's not about, okay, you know, he's this great hero, like awesome in battle. No, the bard's not going to do that. They're not going to be in the front line.
No.
And they're not going to be this super powerful spellcaster.
Yeah.
So it felt like he did his job well.
Right. Overall, like I said, I enjoyed it.
Well, we kind of haven't talked about one of the main characters is Hugh Grant's character.
Oh, yeah.
He's part of the party originally.
Yeah.
He pretty much is the main villain.
Mm-hmm.
As you can kind of see from the trailer.
Right. And he's the only one that doesn't have an adventuring class.
Yeah. He's just kind of generic NPC class. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't. You know, he's one of those classes that you see in the book, one of the other books, like one of the supplemental books.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, this class just has all social feats and social abilities. That's not what we do in this campaign.
Right.
I can't kill people with this. Move on. He's one of those classes.
Yeah. He is definitely less useful bard. Chris Pine was just useful enough bard.
Yeah. At least he learned how to play his instrument.
Right. This was actually a pretty quick watch.
Yeah, it went by quick, yeah.
It didn't overstay its welcome.
It was a little over 2 hours, I believe.
Really?
It was at least 2 hours, yeah.
Man, it's so much shorter than that. Like, honestly, I've sat in movies that very much overstayed their welcome.
Oh, yeah.
And this wasn't that.
No, it was entertaining. some of the jokes fall flat, but overall, it was funny. I got to say, I think probably my favorite part of the movie was the druid.
Yeah.
They have a, so the druid is a tiefling.
They lean on the druid pretty hard.
Well, she's really high level druid because to be able to, like I said earlier, to be able to do some of these shapeshifting she does is super powerful. But
mm-hmm. I'll say that they definitely leaned on her character an awful lot. They spent all the money in the world on her.
Yeah, that
I will say that
surprised me the most.
Holy smokes!
All the CGI was solid. Everything looked good.
Yeah.
All the spell casting, everything looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's also something I was really afraid of too. It being a Hasbro, I don't know how much Hasbro had to pay to make this. I don't know if it was primarily backed by other film studios or if it was backed by Hasbro Corporate, but they did spend money, and you can tell none of the CGI was garbage. Everything looked like what it should look like.
So their budget was about $150 million.
Yeah, I believe that.
And honestly, I think almost all that probably had to go into CGI.
Yeah.
Into settings. Mm-hmm. It looked great. And there's a lot of different settings in this.
I like that we had a lot of CGI creatures, but we didn't have any CGI boss battles. And I think that's really what helps us out. Especially, like, could you imagine if that whole last fight would have just been a Marvel display of a CGI thing smashing another CGI thing?
Yeah.
They actually kept the real characters. Yeah. And I think that helps out a lot.
There was still a lot of CGI with the spells and magic and stuff like that, but it looked good.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Anytime you keep actors in a scene, it looks so much better. There was a lot of CGI upset pieces because, of course, like this entire, most of this had been done in front of a green screen.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, with the druid, her shape-shifting back and forth into like different animals and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it all looked good.
Yeah, I thought it looked great. And they had a few different scenes where you see the druid where she's sneaking into the castle.
Mm-hmm.
You have this whole sequence where she's escaping and falling out of the air and everything. And
yeah.
All of it looks great. I thought it was actually really good.
Like she would hit an object or something like that. And it would almost be like a camera cut moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times they'll use like walking through doorways and stuff like that as their camera cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But even though the stuff she was hitting, you knew was CGI'd as well.
Mm-hmm.
It almost felt very real like that. The CGI in this looked very good.
Yeah. It was
surprisingly good. I've seen some really bad looking creatures in the last few years. Right. Well,
compared to the original.
Yeah.
Dungeons & Dragons. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Any CGI in this looks better than anything in The Witcher, right? That's the closest thing you can compare it to.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't think of anything else that would be like fantasy adventure to compare this to.
Everything, like even the dragon looked just as good as any Game of Thrones dragon. Anything in Game of Thrones also?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot of CGI in that, but you know, of course, the dragons.
Yeah, Game of Thrones really goes for like a ultra realistic looking dragon. This does very much go for like a comic-y looking dragon.
But you could see that.
But it doesn't the basis, look
bad. Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, if it wasn't fat, it would have looked like a normal dragon. Yeah. But
you can tell that this is artistically stylized.
Yeah,
is what I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like the Game of Thrones dragons want you to feel like you are seeing an actual flying lizard. This is very much artistically stylized after D&D models,
mm-hmm.
and they look great. I mean, they had a budget. They used it. They didn't just necessarily, you know, throw it at their actors. They actually used it to make the film.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Even though I'm sure Chris Pine probably costs a little money to kind of throw in the headline. And that's usually what happens with these movies where you just have one big actor. They just throw in and have a draw. The people come in and see it. But honestly, I think all the other actors really stole a lot of the screen time and mm-hmm. Moments from the movie. So, yeah, I definitely recommend seeing this in theater. I think it's worth watching in theater.
Yeah.
The action's good. It's entertaining. If you like fantasy, you'll enjoy this movie.
Yeah, this was worth the ticket price. I did not feel cheated.
No.
At really all.
No. Yeah, I think that's about all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Without getting into too much details and talking about
story. I really don't want to spoil this that much.
No.
So, But yeah, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
You might just enjoy yourself.
This literally had the Steven Skull of Dragons in it.
Yeah. Hey, if you're a redheaded satyr druid out there, hit me up with my DMs.
She wasn't a satyr.
I'm sorry. Half tiefling.
Tiefling. Yeah.
Druid. Yeah, just hit me up.
Surprised the paladin wasn't very upset about a half demon hanging out. But I guess, you know, you're not evil by nature anymore.
No, you're the main class is now in fifth ed. So,
yeah.
You know what? So some of the races, like one more thing.
Yeah.
Some of the races in this, they had like the dragonkin. They actually had
half dragons,
the half dragons
yeah.
in there as just normal races that existed. As you see a few of them, not many.
Oh man. What were the fucking, what were the birds called? The Topangas.
Tengu. Yeah. So you had the Tengu, which I'm guessing the guy was a Tengu. Jonathan.
Had to have been.
Yeah.
What else would he be?
I have no idea. But I thought that was a particularly great scene.
They had catfolk in here?
Yeah. He had a couple catfolk.
They had, are the little people, are they supposed to be gnomes?
They're halflings. I didn't see any gnomes.
Are they halflings?
Holga's love interest. And she's attracted to halflings.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Of course, we had a few dwarves. I didn't see any gnomes, though.
So that's the thing. I didn't know if they were supposed to be gnomes or halflings.
No, those are definitely halflings. Gnomes have pointed ears, stuff like that. They don't look as human.
We saw a dwarf.
We saw a couple.
Did we?
Yeah. The one you see in the arena who gets murdered horribly by a displacer beast.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Which I thoroughly enjoyed the displacer beast. That was exactly what I think a displacer beast would be like. Terrifying.
See, that's actually not what I thought a displacer beast would do.
Well, you know, like mimic its... the description makes it seem like it's not cloning itself.
But it makes
like
more sense.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it does. Because normally it makes it seem like it's just in two places at once.
Yeah.
So it would make sense.
I always thought whenever I first read Displacer Beast back in the day, it had like built in mischance due to being blurred.
Yeah.
So it never occurred to me that the built in mischance would be that it's just projecting itself in a different spot.
I never really thought that that's exactly what it does. I just figured it looks like it's in a bigger area, like it looks larger than it is or something like that.
Yeah. Right?
Or it looks blurry. That's what the general description was.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, a greater displacer beast has like a 50% mischance. So
that would definitely be a 50% mischance.
Because there's two of them.
Right. No, I thought that was great.
Yeah. The mimic was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I loved all the monsters in this.
Yeah.
The gelatinous cube was pretty great too.
Yeah. Dude just gets plunged into it.
It just melts in a minute.
And it's awful.
It's going to be an awful way to die.
Yes. Agonizing. Oh, man.
Fat dragon forever.
Fat dragon for life.
I want to go buy that plushie now.
Oh,
makes
God.
Me want to buy it. I wish I had that over the kitten.
Well, I know why the plushie's so expensive now, because the dragon is so fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sell that plushie by the pound.
I think you can just walk around here with all that thickness? No consequences? No consequences for your thickness?
Oh, man.
All right. Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time, guys.
See you later.